Welcome to RecoveryDaily.com, your daily haven of hope and healing. Here, we embrace the journey of living one day at a time. Join us as we share stories, insights, and the gentle reminders that guide us on the path to recovery. So, take a deep breath, settle in, and let's begin today's step toward serenity.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Living One Day at a Time. Today's episode is titled Step 3. I'm your host, Jim P., and with me again today, we have Daniel. Daniel, say hi to the folks.
Hello, everyone. I'm Daniel J. I'm grateful to be here.
Okay, so before we dive into Step 3, I want to talk briefly about sponsorship. I've suggested to you before the need of a sponsor. Unfortunately, a lot of people will do Steps 1 and 2 without one because they want to decide whether they really do have this problem and that sort of thing. But you would have been better off if you had had a sponsor go through those things. But now we're reaching a point in the program where we're going to be moving forward into recovery. What we've done up till now is deciding whether you actually need this recovery program. So to go forward, it's highly suggested that you get a sponsor. Of course, most fellowships suggest, especially for new people, that men find men, women find women, that sort of thing. Do what you think is best, but it usually works out better like that. But as I said, going forward, you are going to need a sponsor to help you with these things. And I'll touch briefly on it as I go through the beginning of Step 3, why you really need a sponsor. So with that said, anything you want to add to that?
No, I'll just say that for me, having a sponsor was key. Any questions I had, any reticence, any hesitation, and someone to keep me honest and to hold me accountable. So I think those are the biggest reasons to get a sponsor. I would say if it were me, I would get a sponsor day one.
Yes, day one.
Yes.
And it's a good point, keeping me honest. And that goes along with the three prerequisites for Step 3. There are three things that you need to make a decision on before you even consider doing Step 3. And this is where a sponsor really can come into play, because the first prerequisite is that you are this thing. You are an alcoholic. You are a drug addict. You are a gambler. You're whatever your problem is. You've come to the place where you know this is you. This is who you are. And because that's true in your life, you lost the ability to manage your own life. Now, for most of us, coming to that decision was the first time we had ever been able to be truly honest with ourselves. By necessity, our addiction required us to make up reasons and excuses for why our life was continually turning it out the way it was. So that being our first taste of self-honesty doesn't mean that we have gained a really great ability to be honest with ourselves. There's still so much more to learn and see about ourselves, and that's where a sponsor comes in. He's been there, he's seen it, she's seen it. They know where you are, and they can help point you in the right direction so that you can grow in the ways that you need to. And then the second part of that is, because that's true about me, as I said, you lost the ability to manage your own life. Upon reflection, you now realize that it was your addiction managing your life. We're going to get into that a little bit more in Step 3. The second prerequisite for Step 3 is that you have finally realized, you've made the decision, that there is no human help for you for this problem. There's no doctor, there's no psychiatrist, there's no priest, there's no imam, there's no medicine doctor, there's no judge, there's no wife, husband. There's no human power that can bring about this change in you. You've tried many things before and it's never worked. And that's just not available to you anymore. And so you need something greater than all of those things, and certainly greater than yourself. The third prerequisite is that you have come to the conclusion that the only hope for you is to seek a power greater than yourself. And you've decided that that is a possibility, not based on your faith in God or your understanding of God, but based on the stories of the people that are in your fellowship. They were in the same place you were. You've heard them tell their stories. You've recognized that they were like you and did this program and found what they were looking for. They reached that spiritual experience or psychic change or however you want to describe it, but it worked for them. And so that's what you have faith in when it says God could and would if he were sought. So you're going to begin the process of seeking now. And again, like I said, that's not based on faith in God. That's based on faith in your fellowship and your sponsor and the people that are in your group and the people you've met and the stories that you've heard. And you've decided you want to go that path and find what they found. Daniel?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's the faith in the stories that you've heard. It's the things that you've witnessed yourself. And, you know, my time in the program, I've seen or heard stories from people with much more time in the program than me that actually left the program for whatever reason. And they tell the story of what happened, and then they came back to the program. And they used the program to get the things back that they lost when they did leave. And hearing those stories makes me very resolute to stay within this program, to follow the rules, to catch myself as best I can when I'm slipping away. Again, that comes back to a sponsor. Having that sponsor, that tie to your AA community to help you come back in or to keep you here in the first place. So yeah, it's faith in the stories. It's the faith in the people around you. It's the faith in your community.
Okay, very good. And again, that still points to the need of sponsor to help you go through those three prerequisites and make sure that you're there. If you still have doubt that you are or that you have this problem, or if you still think there's some doctor or whatever that can help you, then you need to resolve those things before moving forward on this. I'm not saying it's denied to you, and if you want to go ahead and go, but you'll get much more out of it if you've come to this place. You have this problem. You've lost the ability to manage your own life. There is no power available to you other than spiritual to correct this problem, and now you're willing to follow it through, to go seek this thing in your life. Now, as we suggested in step two, you should come to some sort of definition of what your higher power would be. It doesn't have to be very extensive or anything, but you do need a baseline for starting. Whether that's you're going to use your group as your higher power, or you're already part of a religion or denomination, and that's, you know, Allah, Buddha, well, I mean, you know, whatever works for you, that's fine. But you need to have a baseline to start with, that because in step three, where it says, I made a decision to turn my will and life over to the care of God as I understand him. It's your understanding. It's not my definition or anybody else's definition. And like I said, it doesn't have to be very extensive. I mean, you don't have to write a book about it. You can just simply say, I want a power greater than me that cares about me, has my own best interests, has the ability to do the things that I need done. So, but you need a baseline, because you're going to make a commitment to this step. Now, why do we even need to do this step? Turn my will and my life over to something else. Many of us believe that up until now, we've been operating with free will. We've been managing our own life. But that's not true. What has been managing our life up to this point is different power greater than ourselves, which is our addiction. It became the baseline, the benchmark for everything in our life. It chose where we would go, when we would go, where we would work, who we'd have in our life. And it literally made those decisions for us. And because of our addiction, it separated us from a great number of people that might have been available to us. Most people do not want to be around us when we're in our active addiction. You know, once they get a clear understanding of who we really are, they don't want any part of that.
No, sometimes we don't want to be having anything to do with ourselves.
That's right. That's right. And the people that are close to us wind up needing a fellowship of their own. That's why there's Al-Anon and Nar-Anon, because they develop problems just simply because they were involved in our life. And so our addiction ran our life. And because it did, because it was the literal center of our life, the result of that was that we were selfish and self-centered, and we had to try to manipulate the people around us to accommodate our addiction. And so, you know, Shakespeare talked about we're all actors on a stage. Well, we tried to be the director.
And the actor.
And the actor. And we wanted to have the leading role, and everybody else had a supporting role to us. And if we would all just go along with what I wanted, we'd all be happier. I mean, that was...
That's right.
That was my logic. And so we had to manipulate people to accommodate us. And also, because we couldn't be honest about what was going on with us, we had to literally make up fantasy stories in our own mind about why our life kept turning out the way it did, why we kept losing people in our life, losing jobs, losing whatever, was miserable, was unhappy, felt alone. I mean, we had to blame it on other people and things. And so in doing that, like I said, we either drove people off or we made them sick along with us. And you, I mean, you understand?
I absolutely agree with that. You know, to me, the biggest part of this is understanding there is something bigger than yourself. And, you know, I know for me, before I got into the program, I was extremely prideful. I thought I ran my life. I thought I was in control of literally everything, and I worked really hard to control everything around me. And to come to a place where I give that up, I understand that I have lost that control, and I understand that there's something larger than me in this universe, in my life, and that I just have to control what I can control and give everything else up. A, it reduced my stress level greatly. But B, it gave me the space to work on myself. It gave me the space to see myself for who I really was. And then you can begin work. And, you know, you don't... The thing that I found difficult, especially at the onset, was not to beat myself up for the mistakes I had made in my past. Or to beat myself up for the way I thought. And to just clear that away and start afresh, start anew, and let God take over and lead me down the path that I needed to be on. And or the universe would open doors for me and show me things that I could do and show me places in my life that I had neglected and that I needed to come back and work on. So that's the point, is just get out of your own way, get out of your own head, understand that there's something bigger than you in this world and you're not the center of it, and then suddenly a change will start to happen.
Yes, yes, indeed. So what we're saying is there's a misconception that when it says you're turning your will over to the care of your higher power, that you were in charge of your will and you were not. You're not giving it up. You're asking this higher power to take over from your addiction. You were just the person in the middle. You were not in control. It felt like you were, but if you look at the results of that control, it was disaster.
Every time.
You know, no matter how you arranged the deck chairs, you were still on the Titanic. I mean, that's, you know what I'm saying? It didn't work. And so when you're giving up your will, what motivates you in life, what your perceptions are, you're not releasing it from you. You're asking this power greater than yourself to take it away from your addiction and to start to give you a new benchmark on what's important in life, what's important to you and the people in your life. So that's what it means to turn your will over, is that you're going to, this power is going to come in and start to change your perspective on life and what's important and what it means to be happy. Up until now, your vision of what would make you happy has always failed you. Most of us, no matter how good of a job we have or we found or the spouse we married or whatever, at some point we become discouraged with that. We become unhappy with that. It's not good enough. Nothing is ever good enough, except when we first acquire it. We think, okay, I've made it. I've got the beautiful woman. I've got the big house. I got the brand new car, whatever. And then we start to lose those things. You know, even though we become unhappy with them, we start to lose them because of who we are. And now all of us say, oh, now we're in pain because they misunderstood me and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, so, I mean, it's just a mess. So we need something to come in, and both the basic text and the Big Book talk about needing a psychic change, a change in the way we think and view the world and what's important. You know, what is it that's going to really bring us happiness? And so that's part of our will, is that we're going to turn that over. You, higher power, reveal to me what happiness is. I'll let go of all those things that I thought would make me happy or that I absolutely had to have to be happy. And that's not to say that those things aren't going to come to you, or you'll be able to keep, but you're going to let your higher power reveal to you what true happiness would be for you. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And I think that the happiness and the self-esteem, all of these things are found from within. And that's what our higher power is going to help us see, is that, you know, oh my gosh, if I just get this job, it'll make me happy. Oh my gosh, if I just had a little more money, or if I just had this car, or whatever that external thing that you are searching for is, you'll find that that's not going to bring you true happiness. And we can say it all in so many ways, but until you do it, until you let it go and accept the higher power's help, you know, and really look inside yourself for your happiness and for your self-worth, that it's all inside of you. And our higher power just helps bring that out and shows us the way to get there.
Yes. And on that note, I get what we were literally doing was putting the cart before the horse. We thought if we could acquire things, we would get happiness. But the truth is, what we have found is that happiness comes from a life well lived, and then those things are added to it. We're already happy when we get the spouse, when we get the house, when we get the car. We're already happy. And so those things don't bring us happiness, but when we're happy, those things are much easier to get.
That's right.
Up until now, like I said, what we've done is put the cart before the horse. We were looking for happiness, as you noted, in the wrong direction. Instead of coming in, it has to be an outgoing thing, and we'll really get into that more in the later steps. And so our will desperately needs changing. We need a new benchmark for happiness. We need a new benchmark to make decisions on, a new benchmark to choose the things in our life that are important. And so that's part of turning our will over. Now, turning our life over is similar. Obviously, these are our actions and the things that we want to do. Up until now, as we noted, we've been very selfish and self-centered and controlling. We've tried to manage the people in our life, and that really involves two ways of doing it. One, obviously, is that we try to take charge and to be on top of what's going on in our life. We try to run the show at work. We try to run the show at home. We try to manipulate everybody to go along with what we feel like we need and try to convince you that you will be happy meeting my needs.
Exactly.
And so that's our actions. We did those things. And of course, we, you know, tried to work everything out to our liking. And we also found that often we would be involved in things while in our addiction that we would not have done otherwise. We went to places and did things and were with people that, or in an if we were in our right mind, we wouldn't have done them, you know. But at the time, we thought, oh, yeah, this is fun. And then when you're sober or wake up or after you've spent all the money at the track, I'm just like, whoa, wait a minute. This is not what life is supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be like that. And yet you find yourself doing it over and over. And then eventually you convince yourself, oh, yeah, I love going down to the rest stop and playing the glory holes. If you know, you know what that is if you have a certain problem. But anyway, upon reflection, it's like, what the hell am I been doing? And then you go do it again. Mm-hmm. You know, so our actions have not been often to our own benefit. We often do things that are unbeneficial to ourselves in the course of doing our addiction. And so we want, in turning our life over to God or to a power greater than ourselves, what we're looking for is direction on what to do in life. Daniel and I were talking before, and I think a great example of this is that, let's say you've decided that you are or you want to be a musician. In real life, to be a successful musician, obviously you have to become the best musician that you can. You have to practice, you have to play, you have to play with others, learn how to do all that, and to build your skills on a personal level. But then if you want to go farther than that, you actually want to do something with that, you need to get an agent. You have to get somebody that's going to find places for you to play, that'll pay enough to cover the expenses and make a little bit of money and fits in your time, and that you could get there. And so the agent will do all of those things. And so your job is to be the best person, best musician you can be, and then when you perform, to be the best performer that you can be to benefit the people who are watching. And so in a similar sense, what we're asking for is a power greater than ourselves that will come in and allow us to become the best person that we can be, and in that practice be a benefit to the people around us. And then it's up to the higher power to bring us along to places and things and jobs and whatever that will meet all of those needs. All that's required is for you to be the best that you can be for the benefit of the people around you, like the musician playing for an audience. You're trying to bring something that they appreciate. And so that's, I think, a good example of what we mean when we talk about turning our life over to the care of God, is that we're going to let God take care of the things that are beyond our control and focus on the things that are in our control, which is being the best that we can be for the benefit of the people that are in our life.
That's right. You don't find many musicians in a business school.
Right.
You know, as the musician, you have to focus on your craft, and then you let someone else, your higher power, so to speak, sell you to the
yes,
world.
Yes, exactly.
And I mean, that's how that goes. And when you are focused on being just the best human being and the best version of yourself that you can be, you will be amazed at the magnetism that throws out to others to come and to be around you and to be with you in your journey. When you're being the best version of yourself and giving all the things you can't control up to your higher power, things will flow to you naturally, and that is the universe doing what you've asked of.
Yes.
And it is. It's letting go of that. And you know, as a musician, you know, if I go out as a musician and I try to get gigs for myself, and I'm beating on doors and I'm pounding the pavement to do
right.
I'm not focusing on my craft. I'm just trying to sell a product.
Right.
So if I let someone step in and sell that product for me, everyone's benefits.
That's
that.
Right. And to that same example, if you were out beating the doors yourself, you're also not taking into consideration the people in the band.
That's right.
You know, that are playing with you. You're taking charge of the whole thing and say, oh, yeah, they can all be here this Friday night, you know, and you don't even know what, you know. So mm-hmm. I think that's so what we're asking for is this power greater than ourselves to come in and be our manager, our director, our guide, or however you would like to look at whatever works for you. But your focus is going to be on you and your ability to perform for the people in your life. And then this higher power is going to take care of everything else. Now, that's not to say that you wouldn't have dreams or hopes or whatever, but again, we're asking this higher power to, I can't tell you how many times I thought something would make me happy and it did. So I'm in this process, I want to let go of that and say, yeah, I'd like to do these things, but if it really would make me happy, then I'm asking my higher power to do that. But if not, steer me in another direction. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we are with this, is that we want this higher power to guide our thinking, change our perspective, change the outcomes in our life, or take control of the outcomes in our life. We never did a good job of that. And certainly our addiction did not do a good job of that. Our addiction was bent on destroying and did a damn good job of it.
Very good.
So we need something that's got our best interests at heart, that cares about us, wants the best for us, is not going to send us out on missionary work in Africa, you know, I mean, against your will. I mean, the goal is to be happy. And probably what helped you decide that you wanted to take this process, that you've heard people tell their story, and at the end they talk about how life has become more amazing than they could have imagined. They could not have even hoped for the life that came about. They had no idea that those things were available to me. I know that was true with me. I thought the wreckage of my past would supersede anything good coming in my future, and my future turned out in ways that I really could not have even thought to ask for, much less anticipate. And so I think, and that's true, I think, for everybody that you were here talk, that when we let this power come in and take control of those two things, our will and our life, it turns out better than we could have hoped for. Certainly better than the path that we were on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want to change course.
Well, I think something, too, to keep in mind is every day is not going to be sunshine and roses.
Mm.
You know, in order for a flower to grow, it still needs rain. There's going to be obstacles. There's going to be things that aren't pleasant. The universe will say, you know what, you do need to register your car and pay the bills. And that's going to be, you know, maybe there's some bills you've been putting off for a long time. And then the universe says, you know what, we're going to turn your power off if you don't pay it.
Right.
But at the same time, when you get that caught up and you're managing your finances and then it's no longer a worry, then that's the universe saying, look at what you can do. And it's giving that trust of, you know what, this is maybe a painful moment right now, but I'm going to walk through this moment and I'm going to lean on my community. I'm going to lean on my spirituality and it's going to help me through. And when you get through it, you'll look back and say, you know what? That was easier than I thought it would be. And I've learned a lot. And then the next time an obstacle comes your way, you have more tools to deal with that obstacle. That's the thing. And none of us are perfect at this. This is all a practice. Just always, with everything we talk about, keep that in mind. No one is doing this perfectly. And we're all practicing and working hard at it. But, you know, so there'll be bumps in the road, but you'll get over them and you'll have support to do that.
Yes. And so now, having come to the decision that you were ready for this step and that you want to take this step, how do we start? Well, I'll offer to you two prayers, one from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous and one from the basic text from NA. They're very different, but basically say the same thing. But it is a starting place for you. So hear those two now.
From NA, God, take my will and my life. Guide me in my recovery. Show me how to live. From AA, God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
For my own personal third step, where I started was I said, God, if you are real and if you want me, I'm yours. I'll go wherever you want and do whatever you want. Now, of course, later I would go back to the two third step prayers that we played for you and say those, of course. And I've been to many meetings where they end with those third step prayers. And so that's kind of a refresher. And it's always a good place to come back to, I think, for me to understand where I started with the commitment that I made to begin with. And so what it means to make a decision is that since all of these steps are action steps, it means I'm choosing a course of action to make these things happen. Often I'll hear newcomers in meetings say, well, I'm at step three, but I turn my will over, then I take it back, then I turn it over, and I take it back. And I have to remind them, no, that's not how it works. There's nothing in step three to teach you how to do these things. What you're making a commitment to is that you want to do these things and you're willing to do the work to get there. It's the later step that make it possible for you to turn your will and your life over to the care of this power greater than yourself. First, you're going to need an understanding of what your will really has been and how it has affected the people in your life. You need a clear understanding of that, and that's really where a sponsor comes in, because they can help you see much more than even working the step initially can bring you, to draw the things out of you that you can't see even when you write them down and stuff. So the decision that you're making, again, in step three, is that you're going to do the work to make these things come about. This is but the beginning of the spiritual process, but it begins with a commitment from you and understanding from you that you are going to turn your will and your life over to the care of this higher power, and that you're willing to do the work. You're willing to seek this higher power. As we said in the third prerequisite, God could and would if he were sought. You are now seeking. But the seeking begins with this commit to do these things. There's a great line in the big book that says, okay, so how do we actually work step three? And it says, well, we take pen and paper and start working on step four. Mm-hmm. So you have completed your third step if you have said one of these prayers or a prayer like it. I mean, the wording is of your choice, but it's not completed until you actually begin step four.
Right.
And once you do that, then you say, yeah, I work step three.
I view step three as getting your mind ready.
Yes, getting
your mind ready to absorb all the things you're going to learn about yourself in the following steps.
That's right.
If you don't allow your mind to open up, clear some of the junk out. You're not going to clear it all out, but to clear some of the junk out and understand that change is going to come through these steps, through self-reflection.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to be amazing what you learn about yourself.
Yes.
And you have to have a clear, open mind and a knowledge and understanding and a firm belief that there is something bigger than you in this universe.
Right.
And if you can have those things, open mind, a knowledge that there's something larger than you, and a willingness to do the work ahead, you're in the right place.
Yeah, and if you go back and listen to the third step prayer from the big book, it gives you, I think, a better idea of where we're going when it talks about, you know, that I can be a benefit to others and that sort of thing. I mean, it's a glimpse into where we're going. And or even in the basic text where it says, you know, help me in my recovery. Well, recovery is working these steps and learning how to live one day at a time. We're not there yet. This is the beginning, as was suggested. This is the start of that process. Up until now, it's been self-reflection. Am I an addict? Have I lost the ability to control and manage my own life? Is there anything else available to me other than a power greater than myself? Because that's what's been in control of you up to now, a power much greater than you that is bent on your destruction. And so that's where you have to start. But these is the very first kind of baby step in that direction, that you're making a commitment to this, to find this power greater than yourself and to turn these things over and do the work that's required. As I've said all along, this is an action program. We do not think ourselves into right act. We've never been able to do that. We've never been able to contemplate our way into a better life. We have to take action, concrete steps, and these steps will do that for you. That's the promise of every 12-step program, that if you do what we did, if you do what I did, if you do what Daniel did, if you do what the people in your home group did or the other people that you've met, that you will get the same result. Wonderful line from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. And it says the only disqualifier, the only thing that really holds back people is self-honesty. If you have completely lost the ability to be honest with yourself, you're done.
You won't be successful.
You won't be successful.
Right.
You're to the end. But if you have recognized that you are this, that you have this problem, then you have shown you have the ability to find what we have found. Because like I said, I was the last to know that I had these problems. And once that was opened up to me, once I could see that, it was like an epiphany for me. It was like all the wheels clicked into place and I knew what time it was. You know, mm-hmm. It was like, okay, this is it. This makes sense. That little bit of self-honesty opened the door. And if you have that much, then this step and the following step are available to you. And the promise at the end, having had a spiritual experience, psychic change, whatever you want to call it, is available to you. But it begins here with this commitment to find that power greater than yourself and to do the work to get there.
Daniel? And to being honest. I mean, when you start to be honest with yourself, I mean, in a real way, you'll be amazed that the honesty will just start to flow out of you about everything. And I can't even at work not be honest about something with people, or it's just changed my outlook on the world. And honesty, though, may not be the easiest path in the moment, once you've gotten past that little nudge and you're honest to the core with the people around you and yourself, things get easier.
Yes. And
things get easier.
And what a great point, because almost every fellowship in their books will talk about, upon first glance, when we look at these steps that are coming, we think to ourselves, I'm not going to do that. That's not necessary.
Right.
I don't need to go back and see all those people I hurt and try to make, I'll do some of these. I'll do the prayers and I'll do whatever. But so that's why you have to make the commitment now. Regardless of how difficult it looks going forward, you have to make the commitment now that you're going to do the work. And of course, the great thing is that once you take a step and you realize the benefit that comes from it, and there are promises that go along with all of the step, then you'll be eager to do them again. Mm-hmm. Once you see what it actually does for you and the people around you, then you'll be, oh my God, I'm glad I did that. And so the next time you go through the steps, which is a part of living one day at a time, is to cycle through these and learn the principles and apply them to your daily life. And we'll get much more into that when we get to step 12. So again, the decision you're making is to take a course of action. It's not a thought experiment. It's not thinking about turning your will and your life over. That's not it. It's making the decision to take the action to do these things. The ability to do these things, as I've said, will come later in the steps. In fact, that's their purpose. So, if you're really interested in going forward, then I would suggest that you pick one of these prayers that I offered you, or come up with something on your own and get by yourself and do it. I mean, I know a lot of people want to do it with somebody else that they care about, a wife or a spouse or a friend. And there are a lot of sponsors that would like that offer to make that prayer with you. But what we have found is that it is best to meet your higher power one-on-one with nothing else, just no other distractions. Just find a place alone, sincerely say this to your higher power, whatever it is, and make that commitment to yourself, to this higher power, to work this process. Now, for many people, they can see a sudden change in them right at that moment. That's not guaranteed. That's not everybody's experience. Sometimes the effect of doing it can be great or it can be gradual. But what I can assure you, and when I say gradual, I mean like in a couple of days or a couple of weeks at most, you're going to see a change start to take place in you that you can't account for, that you didn't make happen. Your perspective just started to change and things started to open up to you. So that's why I suggest you do this alone. You make it a solemn event, and for some, because like you're meeting your creator or the universe or whatever, you're reaching out for whatever is there, and it will reveal itself to you in short order, sometimes immediately, sometimes gradually, but you'll see it. So think well before you do this, because your life is going to change if you're sincere about this. This is the beginning of the process. And so, like I said, consider the three prerequisites very carefully. Listen to this podcast again if you need to come to an understanding of what it is you're really going to try to do, what you're committing to, and then say a prayer of your choosing and go forward. And grab your sponsor and get started on step 4. Now, our next episode is going to be on step 4. And how to work that. But again, even if you've decided, and I've said this from the beginning, if you've decided you're going to work the steps the way that I've laid them out, that you still do it with a sponsor. Get their input. Maybe they'll agree with some of the things I've said. Maybe they disagree with some of the things I've said. But that's between you and him. This is just a guide. You're better served by having somebody face-to-face, one-on-one, that you've given permission to be honest with you about you. That's the most important part of sponsorship. And let me say that again. You're giving somebody permission to be honest with you about you. I know how difficult that is. We never, not even the people closest to us, had permission to do that. So, but that's what we want from our sponsor. And he will absolutely be honest with you.
And you absolutely need that honesty in your life.
Yes, absolutely. So, again, thank you for being with us today. Say goodbye, Daniel.
Goodbye, Daniel. Thanks, okay. Everybody. Have a great day, night, evening, whatever. Have a great life. I hope you find this helpful. and get a sponsor, follow the steps, and pay attention to that higher power.
As always, if you have any questions or comments, email them to jim@recoverydaily.com, which is where you can also find all the podcasts in this series. So I hope you are learning how to live one day at a time. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Living One Day at a Time. Please send your comments and questions to jim@recoverydaily.com. We would love to hear from you.